5 degrees on this Tuesday, September 20th. You're with Lori Dubose as we welcome Baldwin County School Superintendent Eddie Tyler to join us for Community Contact. Good morning, Eddie.
Good morning, Lori.
Appreciate you being here, trying to get back into our old schedule of the third Tuesday of each month to get our update from the school system.
As long as I'm reminded, I'll be here.
We appreciate that, and I'll be glad to remind you. I was looking at the newspaper headlines, the Baldwin Times, that came out on September 16th, and there are two articles I thought I might ask you about that have kind of been in the national news. Mm-hmm. One is Alabama teacher shortage. Where does Baldwin County stand? And the other is talking about reducing, and this has been on the national spectrum, reducing the educational requirements in order to attract more teachers. Would you like to address either one of those?
Yes, let's look at the teacher shortage. I don't think we've really gotten to a point where Baldwin County has had to struggle with finding teachers. Now, everybody across the nation has had trouble finding math and science teachers. But now with the state's new TEAMS Act, where science and math teachers can give up tenure, they get a significant raise in their salary, but they have to specifically teach those classes, no electives, no anything. So the team, Baldwin County, we're off the charts with the number of TEAMS contracts that we have with teachers. And so there has been no shortage. In the spring, resume time, we get hundreds. The new standards, I think, are the new approach to try to attract teachers. Praxis has been in the news.
And that's what is praxis?
It is a form of test that is administered by the State Department, and you have to make a certain score. And then if you're in a particular field, if you take the praxis in math and you make a particular score, then you can come in and teach math as a teacher. You might not have that degree completed yet, but you might have a background in math. So that has helped. Now, they've lowered the standards as far as the score. I don't think that's going to hurt anything because, you know, it's a sliding scale as far as when you come in, you take your test, you make a particular score. And when you get into a school, they will be monitored quite heavily. A teacher will be as far as how they're teaching. There'll be a mentor probably attached to them because math and science teachers are hard to find. So I think the state said, well, let's lower the scores, see if we can get more people in, and that's what they've done.
My mother taught her way through college in a one-room schoolhouse in Gilbertown, Alabama, and I was raised grading school papers and decorating bulletin board walls, and so I know what a special thing it is to be a teacher and how unrewarding it can be, and the salaries are not really up to par. But so it is, a retention could be a problem, or at least gathering them, or,
I think,
you know, hiring.
We got through COVID, Lori, a lot of educators left during COVID and when it first hit, and trying to get back to the numbers pre-COVID. That's been a struggle, I'm sure, for everybody. But, you know, teaching is a very tough profession. It's a noble profession, but it's very difficult. And there's so many things required of our educators now, not only from the state, but from the feds. And some of them just want to come in and you know, teach reading, writing, math, social studies, and all the academics. But there's so much paperwork attached with teachers. It's difficult.
I've heard about the the paperwork, all of the requirements. Well, how did the school year get kicked off? We're just in it, right around a month, maybe 5 weeks?
Yes, we are. I think we got off to a good start. We had our institute at the Foley Civic Center by OWA. First time ever I've been able to get all 4,200 employees under one roof at one time. And we kicked off the school year and just had a fabulous time there together. But I think it's gone well. Our numbers are holding steady. They continue to climb. You know, we've had several systems break off and took significant amount of students with them. But, you know, over the last 3 years, we really haven't lost students because we seem to have a 4% gain just about every year.
So the Gulf Shores spinoff and others,
and really the Orange Beach spinoff,
haven't affected the system financially either?
Have not affected the system financially, and really have not affected us as number of students, because our growth continues.
Yeah, with Baldwin County's growth.
Baldwin County's growth, yes.
Yeah. Dr. Lou Campominosi does a talk show here on Mondays, the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review. And as you know, he watches the school system very closely. And he mentioned about some test scores. Mm-hmm. I thought I wrote it down. ACAP. Mm-hmm. And was complimentary with the growth of some of the numbers. Tell us what is that and what happened?
Well, it is tests that are administered to your elementary grades and also into your eighth grade. And, you know, it just kind of gives you an idea of school system and the state of how you're trending in math and English and those type things, literacy, you know, and reading. And Dr. Lou did attend the school board meeting last week, and I really appreciate his words. He was very complimentary of our efforts. It, like you say, Doc usually keeps an eye on things, and when he has an issue, he lets you know it. But he was very complimentary. He made the effort to come and tell the board that, and how he feels like there is improvement going on. And we really appreciate that. So, you know, hopefully we can continue that trend. We've got some good things in place to make an all-out assault now on math, reading, those type things, literacy, because academics now, I think, in Baldwin County would be in the crosshairs, because our construction is kind of under control. We're moving along with that. A lot of things have settled to where now our big focus needs to be academics.
Tell us about the construction. We were briefly talking off air, and we wanted to delve into that, mm-hmm. because with this unprecedented growth in the county, the school system has to keep up.
Well, and we're having to pedal real hard. I know that we will be opening up a new Silver Hill Elementary School in the August of 2024. We broke ground out on Highway 59 on our Baldwin Prep Academy, which is 10 through 12, that will address workforce and all the needs that come with that. We have a lot of heavy partners with that.
Is that going to be where students from throughout the county can come for career prep?
Absolutely. It is. You can even come from a neighboring county if we give you a waiver, and you have to supply your transportation. But an example I give sometimes, if a parent is concerned about the academics at the Baldwin Prep Academy, the academics will speak to job needs, but also it will address the academics you need to graduate from your base school. So say someone from Fairhope wants to start as a sophomore, they can go 3 years into our biomedical, our allied science, which is going to be a state-of-the-art partner with USA Health, Infirmary Health, those people. And they might want to come out of the academy and go to their favorite university and go into med school. So it doesn't mean they have to go straight into the workforce. Or they could come out and go straight into workforce at Austell, Airbus, Caterpillar is partnering with us, the Home Builders Association, all of the health associations. We're very blessed. So it's called career college choice. In other words, you go in and you have a choice to what you want to do. So it's way, way light years above the old career tech schools, which served a purpose back then. But right now the workforce has aged, and I was reading the other day where you can't find plumbers, you can't find electricians, they're aging out, and you can learn these trades if you choose to. Now, when you come there, you wear the uniform that's associated with the trade, you have to be there on time, you have to talk to your supervisor, and if you're not performing, then you would be put back at your base school.
And how is this prep academy different from, forgive me for not knowing the exact words, the vocational school out by the airport?
Right. That's our aviation right there at the airport.
Okay.
And that.
So it's strictly aviation.
It is aviation, and well, they do have some welding that goes on there. And we're not going to keep all these facilities open. We have North Baldwin, South Baldwin Center for Technology. They've aged out. And then the Aviation Academy. You know, there might be a specific need that we keep it open, but if we're partnering with Airbus and Austal and others, that the Baldwin Prep Academy will take the place of that, because we're not going to duplicate.
What would happen to that facility?
It would remain. It's ours. It would remain. We're not sure how we're going to repurpose it or when we're going to repurpose it, but we always have a need for facilities. So.
Okay. All right. And the virtual school is still, or online, I'm not sure the proper terminology.
Virtual school, we have an elementary, K-6, and we have a high school, middle school, 7-12. Right now, they're okay, they're up and running, they've settled a bit. You know, we bloomed about 7,000 during COVID. But now we're back down to manageable numbers, and we feel like that our virtual school rivals any virtual school that you could go to in the private sector. And that's what we do. It's a competition. So we want parents to stay with us and not run off to those others that you see advertised.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Recently, Daphne residents in the Daphne High School feeder pattern approved a property tax increase. Mm-hmm. So that brings to how many districts within your system now that have approved, and how is that money utilized?
We have 7 feeder patterns, and with Daphne's approval, we have 4 of the 7 that the citizens within the feeder pattern have gone to vote the tax on themselves.
Fairhope, Daphne,
Spanish Fort, and Robertsdale.
Okay.
And, you know, it's a 3-mill tax that they placed on themselves. It's for a particular period of time, whatever that agreement that was drawn up.
Usually 30 years, I think.
Usually 30. Spanish Fort and Robertsdale have done less, and then they'll revisit that. But the monies, in the past, citizens always had an issue with, well, if you raise my taxes for education, I don't know where it's going. If I live in Fairhope, is it going to Robertsdale? If I live in Robertsdale, is it going to Foley? So now when you tax yourself in that feeder pattern, that tax money, those mills, go strictly to the schools in that feeder pattern. Yes, some money is managed by our school system. It has to be. But then you have a committee.
Yes.
At each one of those tax districts. They listen to the principals. The principals put in requests. The requests are sent to myself and John Wilson, the CSFO, and then monies are returned.
Does the system initiate that campaign for the tax increase, or where does that come from?
We, as a school board, and myself, and any others, have nothing to do with it. Now, if those in the schools in that feeder pattern want to promote it, you know, as a teacher, I'm not talking about getting out and campaigning, but just as teachers and speaking to citizens and saying it's a good thing for the Daphne schools because I can get a lot more resources. The system never stops giving resources. Even if the tax didn't pass, we're going to give the school system what they need. But this is just above and beyond. And parents have said, I just want more. But now I think the trust is back to where they know that money stays and will go to the schools in the Daphne feeder pattern. And a minute ago when we were talking about construction, I need people to understand that our building program, when we finish this next phase of construction, we will have approached $500 million. That's with a B.
Billion with a B.
With a B. With no property tax increase to the citizens of Baldwin County, or no tax increase.
That you've initiated.
Well, that we've all gotten back together and we've partnered, and the county commission was a big factor in that, allowing us to keep that penny. And that right now, Lori, generates about $60 million a year. That one penny that could have gone away if the commission had done away with it. It was about $40 million. It started out at $25 million when I was an assistant superintendent here. And with what that penny brought. And now it's at $60 million.
How is the system doing financially? You've always often talked about the transparency. Everything you want to see is online.
It is.
Did we need these property mill tax increases?
No. I mean, if you're talking about us as a school system providing for our schools, no. We provide quite well. In fact, the resources that our teachers have prior to any property tax increase, the $3 million, would be second to none. You know, plus, our teachers in Baldwin County are paid 6.5% above the starting state matrix that the state has. So when you come to Baldwin County, your salary is going to be 6.5% higher. And I'm talking about Vestavia Hills, Homewood, Mountain Brook. You can just go down the line.
I didn't realize that.
And we do. We pay higher. And, you know, so we're very proud of that. So health-wise, John Wilson has done a fantastic job. We're very healthy. But I tell people all the time, we live and die on sales tax for the most part. We're one storm away from having to, you know, tamp down, hold down. That's why we hold on to a lot of money in our reserve. And so, because when all of a sudden a storm comes, somebody's just not going to come in and give you a check and say, well, that blew away here.
Uh-huh.
You know, they're going to have to assess and appraise, and all those folks come in. But we're in very good, we're very healthy. We're as healthy as we've been since I've been back.
And how long have you been back now?
I'm in my 8th year. You know, I think the lifespan of a superintendent in Alabama is about 2.5-3 years.
So you're doing good.
I'm very fortunate.
Congratulations. recently, well, within the past couple of months, a new security type system, the Crisis Alert, mm-hmm. was unveiled. And I've talked a little bit to the police chief about it. Would you like to tell us about it as well?
Yes. So that was piloted, I think, Fairhope High School, Fairhope Middle. They piloted that program, and that really, to go to the $3 million, a lot of the funding that they used came from the $3 million that they benefit when they get their share. And so they let that, because they wanted something more, and so they went into the Crisis Alert. So we've been so impressed that now that is going to be implemented countywide. Every employee will have a Crisis Alert badge, and as I speak, we're outfitting our facilities now across the county, central offices, schools, outlying facilities. It'll be about a 90-day process to get it done. And our school system is, we're reimbursing Fairhope. You know, Fairhope Middle and High paid their money. John Wilson just wrote them a check back to reimburse them for the monies they put in that Crisis Alert. And now we're going to fund the program countywide.
And to give us some details, if I understand it correctly, all of the school employees and, of course, the resource officers will be able to push a button.
Correct.
To notify police and administration
Correct.
Of any type of a crisis or
Correct.
Shooter situation.
Correct.
And it pinpoints exactly where they are in the building.
Right. I'm sure Marty McRae, who's handling our safety and security now since Mr. Sampson left, would probably want me to be very cautious, plus our police chiefs, about how much we share.
Don't want to give it away.
No, but basically, if you're a teacher and you have a crisis in your classroom, it doesn't just have to address lock the school down. It can address a crisis in your classroom to where administrators are notified and they would know where to come to your classroom, and maybe nurses too, if nurses have to come there and as a medical
and
issue
police.
In the classroom. And police. But the Crisis Alert doesn't necessarily have to involve law enforcement all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It can just involve issues that go on in your school. And it's just a push of a button. And we have other safety measures, too, in our offices that people don't know about, you know, because you have to put all – you can only put so much online, and we have to send in our plan to the state. But we're very proud of all of our resource officers now will have their dedicated office in every school in the county with a computer we're going to supply and a monitor of all the security cameras, and we're going school-wide to put in brand new security cameras at every school so that we're all in sync. Because sometimes one school might say, well, I want this brand, another school wants that brand. It's going to be the same thing countywide to where our police officers, men and women, can view what's going on all the time.
Can I just walk up to any school and walk in any door anymore?
The answer is no. And if you
Good.
do that, please give me a call because I've had parents reach out and they've been very nice. I have an issue with something at a back of your school where this was done, or maybe a door was propped. Back in the day, coaches, you know, I'm sorry, I can get on coaches because I was one for 23 years. Coaches were notorious for propping open a door so that their athletes, men and women, can go and come to the field house or the field, and that would never be removed. Those days are long gone. If that's happening, usually there's a buzzer that notifies the office, or I'm notified by someone who's concerned, and then we notify the school. So in my pocket, I have my ID. So when I walk up to every school, and you might know me, we've known each other a long time, and you see me coming, you want to buzz me in, I'm going to stand right there and put my ID in front of that monitor. Mm-hmm. Because if I don't model it, I can't expect you or any other parent or student to model it.
So, right.
We're very strict about that. And if we're not, I need to know.
That's good. So if a parent does encounter a situation where they had easy open access, they'll let you know.
I just don't need them to get upset. I just need to let them, please let me know and we'll look into it.
Social media is not always our friend. And and a post kind of went viral recently about an elderly gentleman trying to attend a ball game and couldn't get a ticket. Mm-hmm. You can't just walk up and buy a ticket at the game anymore.
Are me and you considered in the elderly ranks nowadays?
Well, I think we're getting close.
Well, I don't know about that. No, you can't. And the changes have come about. That's happening statewide. I think a lot of it is with the amount of time it takes for schools to have people there to collect money. And you just can't have anybody collecting money. You can't say, I got great parent volunteers. There's things attached with what's required when you start taking money and receiving money. And so we're taking the accountability away from our employees. They don't have to worry about that. They don't have to worry about the receiving. I mean, it's all done online. And is it difficult and made it difficult for some? Yes, it has. And I can only say I apologize for that. But in the greater scheme of things, it has made collecting money and accounting for money in all sports a lot more accountable, and we don't have to worry about some of those things.
And in this particular case, or in any case, the solution was, several people said, well, if I were standing there with him while he was trying to get in the gate, I could have said, here, let me go on my phone, you know, someone that's more literate in the technology, and buy the ticket. The gentleman could give them the money. But still, how far we've come to not be able to get a ticket at a ball game at the gate anymore.
Yeah, high school seems to follow the trend, you know, up the ladder. And it is so expensive nowadays to outfit our men and women athletically, and to outfit a band. I mean, it's outrageous what it costs. So it's just, it's a kind of a necessary evil right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What else would you like to mention that I have not thought to ask about?
Well, I'm looking forward to that every monthly meeting with you, because I am proud to be either the face or the voice of Baldwin County. My board has blessed me. I spent 25 years in this county before going off and then coming back. I didn't dream it, but I'm living a dream now. Am I everybody's favorite darling? No. Don't claim to be. Was I everybody's favorite coach? No. Didn't claim to be, but you know, I've got a job to do, and I feel like we treat our employees extremely well. We pay them extremely well. Our facilities are second to none. And what I tell people all the time, we're a county school system, and a lot of times those who go into city school systems say, well, surely we're going to have more than a county school system. We would rival any city school system. Not that they're bad to go and be a city.
Actually, in some of the, and I don't remember the name of the organization, but in the rankings of the top high schools in the state of Alabama, you'll often see the private schools in the Birmingham area, the city schools,
sure,
I mean.
Sure.
And then there's Fairhope High School, ranked right up
Fairhope
in the
high
top
school,
10 with
Fairhope
them.
Fairhope Middle School. Uh-huh. We have Baldwin County High School that's raised their ACT scores among the best around. It's one thing after another that we're accomplishing with our academics. And so we're very proud of that. And you sometimes people say, well, if you're in the county system, you're not going to have what you need.
Those days are gone.
We'll put Baldwin County Public Schools up against anybody in the state.
You know, 10 years ago, we used to hear a little talk about a city school, but that seems to have gone by the wayside. And then the property tax probably helped appease that. A lot of it, too,
Lori, comes back to trust. I mean, the citizens and the leaders of these cities have to trust us. And I think we have brought back a great deal of trust to Baldwin County Schools.
Very good. Thank you so much. And I probably should have called you Coach Tyler. Folks still call you Coach?
They do, and I'm very proud of that. And I watched your son. My son was good friends with your son.
I'm proud of Robert
and what he's accomplished. And looking forward to his induction.
Thank you. He's talking about the Fairhope High School Athletic Hall of Fame induction on September 30th. I'll see you there.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Baldwin County School Superintendent Eddie Tyler. Now, we're getting back into our regular third Tuesday schedule of interviewing on Community Contact.